This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future.
Today we have with us
Alison Mulder.
And I'm Vicky Marie Buchanan. So Alison, welcome. Thank you for sharing your time with us too. Now, you were telling me that you were born in Kairanga.
Yes.
Wow. Okay. So tell me about that, about what were some of your early memories?
Well, the youngest of three, there's almost exactly 2 years between each of us. So I think that was quite a standard post-war family.
Right.
Of first one born in 44 and then 46, 48, that's me.
Right.
And I obviously was living in a country area, mm-hmm. quite close to Palmerston North.
Right.
But still felt very countrified.
Right.
But close enough to do some shopping in town, that sort
and
of thing.
So you were born in 1948?
Yes.
So that was just after the Second World War, wasn't it? 1945 is when that finished.
Yes, but I think, interestingly, the thing that, in terms of war, most concerned me was the Korean War.
Oh, okay.
Which I was quite fearful. Quite
right.
fearful.
Right.
And my father assured me, I don't know if the others, that if things got to New Zealand, he would take us into the hills,
right.
into the bush.
Right. So the Korean War was, when was that then?
What's that, 50?
Oh, in the 50s,
yes,
later.
Yes.
So your early memories saying, well, obviously you're a baby in 1948, but in the early 50s, there wasn't an impact, say, of the Depression or anything for you growing up, or those early memories?
Well, yes, because obviously those things had affected
right.
your one's parents,
yes.
grandparents.
Yeah.
And we were very fortunate to have two sets of grandparents living close enough.
Oh,
that
great.
We connected with. My paternal grandparents, in fact, were on the farm. My mother's father and her second mother, because her mother had died of TB when my mother was about four.
Oh.
So her second mother was Minnie Foss from Kereri.
Ah, right.
So it's and basically we were extremely fortunate because we had quite a big, I guess, Danish influence, European influence.
Right.
And the two sets of grandparents were completely different.
Yeah.
But to me, this was just how life
This was family.
Is.
Yes,
this
yes.
is.
Yes.
So the difference is perhaps you became more aware of when you were older and realised there were different attitudes.
Right.
Different, yeah.
So growing up then, as a little girl growing up in Kairanga, there was a little bit of impact of the Depression and things in way of, how did that show itself?
Well, perhaps it just did with me, because that's what I remember.
Right.
But, for example, when I was four, one of the most thrilling memories was that my mother told us that there were two people coming to dinner. It was an adult dinner, but we could stay up to meet them.
Oh, great.
And that they were Dutch and that their English was not perfect.
Right.
And they had an accent and we mustn't laugh.
Oh.
So by the time these two young men, who were in their early 20s,
right,
arrived, to me, anyway, there was the state of high excitement.
Yeah.
And as it turned out, they became very close to the family, and Peter, one of them, I basically, at four, fell in love.
Yes, yeah.
And loved him.
Right.
For a lifetime.
Right. Lovely. Why were they travelling over? Was it just...
They had come post-war.
Right.
Big influx of Dutch people.
Right, right.
In the early 50s.
And did they settle in the same area or did they move around the country?
Peter and Rudolf and a few other people through them that we met. No, they mostly dispersed to other parts of the country.
The country, okay.
So Rudolf became a dairy farmer in the Waikato. Right.
Okay.
Peter moved up north with the Ministry of Ag.
Right.
But he ended up in insurance.
Right. But you obviously still kept in touch anyway to maintain the relationship, keep the relationship going. Yeah,
and good. So also based on that, my grandparents got, I don't know if it was a weekly kind of pictorial magazine called Pics.
Oh, I remember those, yes.
And there was a store of them kept in an upstairs kind of cupboard.
Yeah, yeah.
Under the roof.
Right. In an attic, like an attic. Mm.
And I used to climb up there and look. And these recorded things like post-war life in Europe.
Ah, right.
The floods in Holland.
Right, right.
And this had a huge impact on my very imaginative brain.
Yes.
And so at that young age, I used to grapple with big questions such as, our family is put in a terrible situation.
Mm.
My parents have split up by the authorities.
Mm.
Somebody has to make a choice. Which parent do I go with? So, yeah, I'm not sure whether many 4 or 5 year olds in a really happy, loving
home
situation had these kind of big issue thoughts.
Do you remember sharing that with your mum and dad, or did you hold on to it and try and work it all out?
I think I did used to worry about certain things, like, for example, and I must have been quite a bit older then, but we went to see the film Davy Crockett.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Now, the only thing I remember about that was, I think it was in, I don't know who was tied to the tree, whether it was the European and the Indian, red Indian, as they were known, or the other way around.
Right.
But there was obviously, and this person had a, I think, remember, a burning stick.
Ooh.
And was going to do something to the person.
Right.
And this just horrified me.
Right.
So that in the night,
yeah,
I lay there and thought I might be going to die. Mm. I couldn't breathe. And I actually do remember going to my parents' bedroom and saying, I can't breathe.
Yeah.
I can't breathe.
Mm.
So I think I had a bit of an imagination.
You must have had. Yes. And a deep thinker too, at five, to be having those sorts of thoughts too. I mean, you're obviously a sensitive wee kiddie and quite a deep thinker too, to be thinking on about the pictures and the stories that you've read.
Perhaps it's quite interesting that Peter, the one Dutchman, told me years later, he said, you always had an old head.
Yeah, yeah.
But it gets you into lots of trouble. So I added the gets into lots of trouble.
So and on the farm, did you have special duties to, little chores that you needed to do? Or what was farm life like for you?
In a way, I think that we had an idyllic, spoiled, not spoiled, just very, our grandparents were a walk away, they spoiled us, we just had, you didn't recognise it.
No, we take it for granted when we've got
and it. And my brother and I, Richard, we fought. I think back now, to my poor mother having to put up with the scrapping for about 15 years.
Mind you, that's probably quite normal and healthy, isn't it? Siblings fighting.
I used to envy my oldest, she's my oldest friend now, or my longest standing friend, because she had two older brothers.
Right.
Who were old enough to seemingly look after her and spoil her. And be very kind to her.
Right, right.
And it's strange because in my mind I didn't think my brother got a fair go.
Oh, right, okay.
And so it was my longing, I suppose, to be empathetic and compassionate, but what boy wants their kid sister annoying them? And so we squabbled. I don't know what we squabbled about.
Often.
But it was constant.
Yeah, yeah. Often brothers and sisters do, don't they?
Yeah. But the other thing is, of course, that a small country school, three classes shared a classroom and a teacher. So because we were 2 years apart.
Right.
Mostly there was a short time.
Where you were in the same class.
We were in the same classroom. Right.
So you were at Kairanga School as well. Right. Okay. Very good. And so what was it like at school? Have you got memories there from school days?
Yes. And again, the biggest things actually are things that... worried me, which was there was a lot of strapping.
Yes, there was.
Days.
Yes.
Oh, I remember we used to have fingernail inspection each day that you had to put on your handkerchief.
Yes, yes.
And you had to show your teeth.
Oh.
And there were some people that was not good, and those people were growled at.
Bad teeth, not cleaning teeth,
yes,
is it?
Yeah. That sort of thing. So that was not very nice.
Strapping was the discipline, wasn't it? I mean, I heard a lot from my grandparents getting strapped, and I know I got strapped when I was at school for talking.
I got the cane.
You got the cane?
The stick.
Right.
And that was a big deal.
Ooh, yeah.
Because I thought it was completely unjust.
Yes, yeah.
So again, it was this big issue.
Yeah, yes.
Of a sense of, I don't know, did you used to get, the teacher would get a box with the long chalks in?
Oh, yes, yes.
Beautiful.
Yes, yes.
Big box with the long chalks.
Mm.
And, of course, we had blackboards.
I was just thinking
blackboards
that, yes.
Blackboards around the classroom.
Yes.
And we used those a lot.
Yes, yes.
But before school, if it was raining, we were allowed inside. And we might not be supervised.
Mm.
And we, of course, had bits of chalk to do. I arrived at school and with classmates with big chalks, new pieces of chalk. And I probably said, but we're not allowed that.
Yeah, yes, yeah.
And they said, yes, it's all right. The teacher said it's okay. So
you can just hear it, can't you?
I had a piece of long chalk, and our teacher, Mrs. Fennell, was very cross with us, and we got put over the chair.
Mm.
And
you got the stick, the cane?
Got the stick. Mm. Probably it was not very hard, but given that I felt I had made the effort to say, we're not meant to be.
Yes,
and,
yes.
And then not to have my story heard.
Yes. Oh, she didn't ask. She just went straight into discipline.
Great injustice.
The consequence.
Yes.
Oh, dear.
And the other big thing I remember, I was small, very small, and I couldn't run to save my life.
Right, right.
So I was always last to be picked for a team.
Right.
And did I notice that? Possibly.
Mm.
But the worst thing was that when you were playing basketball, netball now, the big people would push you.
Yes, yes.
And that was not very nice. And the other thing that as an abiding memory was the groupie thing.
Mm.
And I couldn't understand how these groups of girls would be best of friends.
Yes.
And then they'd be hating each other. Or they'd be saying, I'm going to get my big brother to come and bash you.
Yes, 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 yeah.
And so I never belonged to the group.
Right.
Because it just didn't seem like a good place.
Yes, yes.
So, yeah, so.
So did you feel lonely in the school, or did you, was it just something that you worked through each day?
I'd have a really one good friend, and but I would never belong to the group.
The group,
and they didn't want me either. I don't think. I don't know. But perhaps the long-standing thing from that is, even as an adult, it's very difficult for me to accept that people like me.
Ah, okay. The connection going back.
So I can have a terrific relationship, but still, oh, I think I'm over it now, but it took.
Yes,
till I was about 60.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
So I can be good friends.
Yes.
Seemingly in a group, but not quite in the group. Mm. It's a bit weird.
It's interesting, isn't it, today? Because I mean, that still happens, doesn't it? Girls get into little cliques and it still happens. But there's a real message, isn't there, also for us all to be aware of that in relationships, and certainly for teachers. And I know in teaching that they work really, really hard to develop the respect and keep working on relationships. But girls are girls and boys are boys, and yes, sometimes you do, you know, you do get yes. that.
Yeah, the other thing is that I would see the people. I don't think I thought I was lonely, but I saw people who were.
Right.
I saw people who were bullied.
Right, right.
And that just upset me. But there was another learning experience with that, which was, you want to be kind to people who other people are being unkind to.
Yes, yeah.
And so you do that, but it doesn't mean you want to be their best friend.
Yeah, very true.
And so there's that sense of how do you deal with that?
Yes.
It all sounds very...
And
deep
I'm just thinking at a little 5- and 6-year-old and 7-year-old to be processing all those little things. You were clearly quite a sensitive wee girl, weren't you, going through those early years? And there might be a little justice button in there too.
Yes, perhaps. Yes, probably. Yes.
So, and at school, are any songs come to mind, or books that you read, or anything that you look back on that you think, oh, that was good?
I think... learning for me was not a hard job. So I'd call learning to read, it just happened.
It happened.
I call it by
yeah, which osmosis. Is good. Yes, yes.
Remember Chanel? The book of spelling words.
Oh, yes, yes.
And you were meant to take Chanel,
yes.
which of course was the author of the book,
yes,
but
yes,
you didn't
yeah,
know.
Yeah.
You thought the book was yes, called
yeah,
Chanel.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
And you were meant to take that home and learn your spelling. I never did.
You never did?
Because it
just went in automatically. Yeah.
So I was lucky. So in terms of having to learn, no, that was
okay.
not hard.
Okay.
But that fear thing of used to be, for example, the teacher would ask a question and I'd know the answer, but I was too scared to put up my hand.
Yes.
So I'd whisper it to the person next to me who'd put up their hand, answer the question, and get all the praise.
Yes, yes.
And I'd sit there thinking, that was my answer.
Yes.
And so I suppose, while the teacher couldn't know that, I suppose I was kind of hoping the person I told might acknowledge.
So Alison actually told me.
Yeah, or that they might say to me something.
Yeah.
But of course that never happened.
Oh.
So that was a little bit of a gripe. And I think I did get a bit of teacher's pet.
Right.
Because I was only ever punished.
Just the once with the chalk.
In the primers.
And I think what we glossed over a bit there was the chalk, and it was the fourth of my childhood too. Chalk on the blackboard, wasn't it? I don't think the whiteboards and the whiteboard markers and things came well into actually when my boys, so that was 80s, I think. 80s or 90s when that came in, whiteboards as opposed to blackboards and chalk.
Blackboards were wonderful. We had a blackboard at home, a big one.
Yes.
And that used to be divided by two chalk lines to make three places.
Yeah.
One for me, one for Richard, one for Judy.
Yeah.
And we would be on that blackboard all the time.
Yeah.
But of course, that's the other thing. Look at young people today, all the toys, all the stuff. Their rooms are just overflowing with stuff.
Yes.
And we had the blackboard. We had a box, like can still remember the box that had toys in it. I can still remember exactly the toys we might have got at Christmas or birthday.
Like?
I remember, again, that must have been about four, under the Christmas tree at my maternal grandparents. I got a little chicken that when you pushed it down, it laid an egg.
Oh.
So it had little feet that pushed up.
Yeah.
I remember a metal farm yard. All the animals were little metal things. I wish I still had that. Probably made of lead. Oh, a doll. I loved dolls. Judy was not a doll person. So one Christmas now at my paternal grandparents, it was the Christmas giving, the present giving moment in the afternoon where everybody, the adults, etc., were sitting. And I got a doll and Judy got a doll. My mother remembers Judy's doll being brought out and me just thinking, obviously, a doll. And it went past to Judy, and her doll had hair and her doll had X, Y, Z, and my doll was bald. But it had a little wee hole in its mouth with a milk bottle that you could push in, and it would, you'd push the liquid in and it would come out the bottom. And of course, I adored that doll. I had a little pushchair. I was really into dogs. Judy was not.
This is part one of five. Tune in next week for part two.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.